If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another listener episode of the podcast. Today, who is 24 years old, she went through her breakup 2 years ago, was in the relationship for 3 years, and while it was obvious that things were not working within the relationship, the breakup was still very abrupt when he ended things. And just a couple months later, she found out that he was already in a new relationship with someone, which, as you can imagine, is such a punch to the gut. So we talk about how she worked through that. She has done so much work on herself of not only looking back and realizing how much she allowed this relationship to really mold her, and she adopted so much of what he wanted, what he liked into her life. And she learned about her anxious attachment style through this breakup. So she was able to approach the breakup not only in just healing the heartbreak, but also really taking an exploratory approach of, how can I learn to be more comfortable on my own? How can I mold myself? How can I rediscover myself and get very clear on how to not let this happen in future relationships? So Natasha was so full of wisdom, and I'm so glad she came on and shared her experience today. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It's so nice to have you on and be able to talk with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk about my breakup.
So can you start off by telling the listeners a little bit just about you?
Yeah, so I'm based out of Toronto in Canada. I'm 24 years old. I'm working right now as an engineer in training, which is kind of relevant to the breakup. And yeah, that's just a little bit about myself.
Awesome. So your breakup happened August 2021. So it's been, at the time we're recording this, it's been 2 years and 3 months. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship leading up to the breakup?
Yeah. So we started dating. I was 19, which is very young. And we were together for 3 years. And the relationship kind of started. And I really leaned into him and a lot of his values, and maybe didn't speak so much for myself, just being so young. I kind of like let him lead or say what he wanted or kind of that stuff. And then gradually, as the relationship went on, it was over the pandemic. So he ended up working 7 days a week in his job, and I took on a lot of responsibilities for him. So I would go to his house on the weekend and start kind of cooking, cleaning, doing a lot of housework for him. So by the end of the relationship, I was going to his place on a Friday night, and you know, he's got 3 loads of laundry, so I'm throwing laundry in. I had brought him groceries for the weekend to cook and meal prep for him. And, you know, I'm cleaning his bathroom, but I'm still having to do my stuff at home. So I was just in a place where I'm super unhappy because he's not looking after himself, and I'm doing a lot of stuff for him. And, you know, he's not happy because I may be nagging, like, you didn't take the trash all week. The trash can is full. Like, come on, like, you can do this. So we had gotten to a place where just we're both super not happy, and that you can kind of just tell in the dynamic. And then when the breakup happened, he had had a friend that he was super close with when we first started dating who got into a motorcycle accident. So that really triggered the breakup for us, where then he's like, what are we doing here in an unhappy relationship? Like, life is so short. You don't really know what's going to happen. Like, why are we gonna stay in this if, you know, you're not happy, I'm not happy, why hang around, kind of thing. So yeah, that was like a huge trigger for us.
It's so interesting over the years, like talking to so many people who have gone through breakups. It's so interesting what the trigger can be. It can be something where it feels as, I mean, obviously that's very significant to get into a motorcycle accident, but it's like, it could be a movie. It could be, I mean, in my case, it was a phone call that came in asking about my ex's, like, he thought he was going to stay for the wedding, and that like triggered a breakup. So it can be just so many little things. And I want to come back to that because I think sometimes when there's such a significant point that leads to the breakup, I know there can be a lot of things of, well, if this just hadn't had happened, then, you know, the breakup wouldn't have happened. But we'll come back to that. Was this the first relationship, serious relationship that you'd ever been in?
This is like what I consider my first serious like adult relationship. I had dated someone in high school, but this was like the first, like, I'm grown up living on my own at university, and like, he was already working full time when I met him. So he was a couple years older than me, but he was working full time. So it was like, you know, that first real connection with someone, I guess, as an adult.
Yeah, you guys were at the point of, I mean, you weren't living together, but you were doing a lot of the things that you would have done had you been living with a partner. And honestly, in your case, it probably would have been easier because you would have had to only do these household chores once instead of twice.
Twice, yeah.
But when you were saying that the relationship started at 19, I know a lot of people can, when they're looking at stuff, they can discount age at which stuff happens. But I would honestly argue that the relationship that I was in around the time that, like 18, 19, was so transformational and so pivotal because of the fact that you're 18 is when you're moving out of your parents' house or not, but you're really becoming an adult, and so much stuff is new. So having someone, especially if they are a couple years older, you do tend to lean on them because, I mean, let's be honest, we're all lost at that age. So I think it's really easy to cling on to a relationship at that time and really have that relationship shape your early experiences of being an adult. Do you feel like that happened?
Yeah, I definitely do feel like that happened. Like, I want to say let him lead the way, but that's not really what I want to say. But, you know, I really let him talk and be like, oh, this is how a romantic relationship should look. You know, like, this is one of the things that he had told me, and I later worked out in therapy, was like, you know, two people can't drive a car. One person is at the steering wheel and makes all the decisions, like almost saying like there's no compromise in a relationship, which is something looking back on, I'm like, oh, like now to me, that would be a huge red flag. Like, I wouldn't want to be with someone like that. Right. But at 19, I'm looking at it like, okay, yeah, like I haven't really been here. So it is quite transformational to who you are as a person, right? Like coming out of that or even being in it. So, yeah.
I mean, aside from relationships we grow up with, our parents or people in our family or things like that, we don't know what relationships are supposed to look like. I mean, we watch rom-coms and, you know, as we get older, we realize those aren't great teachers either. So it's like, I think it's so easy. I adopted that so much. The person I was with at that 19 age said, it's not good to talk about your relationship with other people. And I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense. Now, obviously, looking back, you know, in my 30s, I realize that's insane. And of course, you need to talk about your relationship with other people. But it is something where it's pretty easy to just adopt what they say or what they do. So going back to the breakup, obviously, you have 2 years of reflection on this. Were you able to see how unhappy the relationship was at the time?
Yeah, I can definitely, looking looking back and see, like, I was so miserable, especially those last couple months. And I think I was really just holding on to it because I had been living with my parents, but I was about to move downtown for work and be closer to him. And I was like holding on to, you know, like maybe it'll get better because he's going to be closer to me now and we'll be able to spend more time together. But I really honestly don't think that would have changed anything. Like reflecting now, like it just, the idea of holding on to that and still having, like, I still would have had to do all those things I was doing. So I don't think it would have changed anything at all.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something I was just interviewing a divorce expert last week, and she specializes in women going through divorce. And that was like a huge thing that she talked about, was this idea of women ultimately having to parent their partner and do so much stuff. And women just, you know, I think it's like women right now are initiating 70% of divorces. And I asked her, why was that? And she said, women are just tired. They're exhausted. They're tired of having to put so much out and not really getting a lot in return. But with all that being said, were you still devastated when the breakup happened?
Oh, I was super devastated. Like, yeah. I kind of saw it coming, but it doesn't make it any less painful at all. Like, I was barely eating. Like, I couldn't get food down. Like, my body was just so upset with me, I guess, like being so connected to him. And, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I was getting like 5 or 6 hours of sleep. Your podcast actually really helped with that. I used to listen to it to help me fall asleep. Like, somehow it was able to like calm me down and put me to sleep. So I'd have it on, and I think you can set it where it, you know, turns off after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I just have it playing. And my mom would be like, do you think we could turn that off? And be like, no, this is like, no. I'm only getting 5 hours of sleep. Like, it's got to be on. I'm sorry. So no. That was, yeah, it doesn't make it any less devastating. Like, you know, you're unhappy, but you still envision a future with someone. You still think that, you know, things can play out. And yeah, it doesn't make it any less painful.
And even though it's hard, because I think I could argue that all breakups are very abrupt, regardless of the lead up to them, because if you feel like a breakup's happening, you're not in acceptance of it at that point. You're very much, oh, we can fix this. Oh, it's just a bump in the road. You know, you're rationalizing all the ways that it could still work. But in some ways, this was very abrupt because the accident happened, and then what? Like right away, was it, this can't be happening?
Yeah. So the accident essentially happened, and then he got really quiet. So usually we talk on the phone a lot, and he was starting to get like really silent. But even before the accident, you could kind of tell there was like a bit of tension, maybe some like unhappiness between the two of us, a little bit more fighting than there had been. So then the accident comes up, and he's quiet, less phone calls. I'm kind of asking, like, you know, what's going on? And I start prodding a little bit more as to like, where's your head at with this? Like, I understand that you're upset and I'm trying to give you space, but, you know, this just feels off. At which point, I think the accident happens on a Friday. And then Wednesday of that week, I had prodded enough where he's like, you know, I'm considering like a different future. Kind of how he was wording it was strange. So I really poked, and I was like, does that mean me too? Like, you're considering a different future with me. And he was like, yeah. So I essentially kind of pushed him into the breakup. I think he had wanted to do it in person, but he had been holding out. So yeah, I just really was like, what's happening with us then, if this is what you're considering? But yeah, it was abrupt, but there had been arguing before.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great that you can acknowledge that. I do think that happens a lot where, obviously, and I've done that too, where you push someone to say something because your anxiety can't wait any longer. It's like, I don't want to hear, oh, let's talk next week. I'll be miserable for the next week. But I know sometimes people can take that as, oh, I didn't get the breakup in person. Sometimes it just has to come out when it comes out. Did you guys end up seeing each other and talking in person after that?
Yeah. So I had some stuff at his place. He had some stuff at my place. So we set up to meet on a Friday. So yeah, it happened on a Wednesday. On the Friday, brought my stuff. We met at like a Starbucks, exchanged kind of our stuff between the two of us, and had like a really good conversation. So we had met work. Yeah, we had met working on a construction site, and the Starbucks was next to a construction site. So he was like kind of trying to bring the whole thing full circle, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, just some of the stuff that he said was really interesting that, like, you're a great girl. I just, this isn't going to work for me, but I'm going to like really regret losing you. Or something that I held on to for the first month was he commented, I'll probably regret this because you're such a great girl that I'll want to have dinner with you in like a month.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, no wonder you had hope for the next month. Like, yeah.
yeah, with the way it was worded, right? You're just holding on to that for the month.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's also saying things like, I knew with other exes, he didn't remain in contact with them, never talked to them, but he was like, no, with you, like, I want to be friends. And I, after listening to your podcast, was like, no, the friends isn't going to work for me.
Yeah. But it does sound like, I think before people have that realization, it does sound like a good, I don't know, it's a good option. I know that when I've been broken up with and people say, oh, let's be friends, I'm like, yeah, for sure. That sounds great. I would like to do that. I don't know. It's like an ego thing in some ways.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I went with it at first, and then, we're talking on the phone, and it's like, well, I wish we were talking on the phone as if we were in a relationship and not talking on the phone as if we were friends. Like, you're telling me about your life, and he was
Yeah.
telling me how he was moving through the breakup, kind of like how he was dealing with things. And I'm on the other
Interesting.
side of the phone, like, yeah, I think you're emotionally unavailable. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. And it's just like, so why can't you do anything about this kind of thing? We're having one of these conversations. I'm like, I'm just starting to get angry and a lot of feelings. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't it. This isn't, I can't be friends with you.
Yeah. We just can't see into. Because even someone who is very emotionally aware, you just can't truly express the inner depths of what's happening when you're going through a breakup. And so there's no way you can communicate that. So even if someone is trying to tell you how much pain they're in, it's not going to feel equivalent to what you're experiencing. So it just is going to feel like, I don't know, it's just going to feel like you're miserable and they're just like skating by. So I know that can be really hard. And social media is even worse because you're literally comparing their highlight reel to your internal struggles that you're having.
I'm really lucky in that way that I didn't have social media and he is very private on social media. So I kind of escaped that a little bit.
That's great.
Very fortunate because he's very private with his life and I just didn't have social media. So yeah, super panned out well for me in that sense. But yeah, hearing about like just being on the phone with him and he's like, oh, telling me about his life. Yeah, that just wasn't it for me. Like I was like, no, this is upsetting.
Yeah, you don't want to hear about someone's life without you in it. You're picturing
Yeah.
that all day. Like, it's like you're spending so much of your day realizing that you're no longer in their life. And then you actually have to hear from them how they're out there living their life without you. It's complete emotional torture. I did have one question, and I don't want this to come off as projection because this is definitely something that I've dealt with. But as someone who was in a relationship where there were a lot of things that you were doing for him, do you think that was fulfilling anything within you of like feeling needed or feeling like secure within the relationship? Because I had a very similar one where I was prepping food, doing all the things, not really even seeing him that often. It was mainly just like, I don't know, me doing things for him. But it did give me some sense of security of like, well, if I'm doing all these things for you, you're not going to want to walk away.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was fulfilling something in me. If we get into like some of the therapy stuff I've been talking about, my mom is very much this way. So I had already grown up with someone doing this. So I'm kind of mimicking the relationship I've always seen her have with my stepdad in this new relationship. And you also know that it's so hard for you to walk away from me because I am doing all of this for you. So it's definitely like a, it definitely does go together. And looking back on that now, like you can super see it. I think at the time, like I was so in it, I wouldn't have realized that, I'm mimicking this relationship or I really just wanted to feel needed. I wanted to feel like you needed me. And, I think one of the other things that maybe came up in therapy is like a savior complex a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about it, so I don't really want to touch on it too much, but like I think some of that can come out as well. Like, oh, like I need to save you from this. Like you're working 7 days a week and now you're not, but I still need to do all this stuff for you, right? So No, definitely not a projection at all what you were saying. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the, I don't know a lot about the savior complex either, but I will say, as someone who for a lot of life thought that you had to work to deserve love or work to get someone to want to spend time with you, kind of a thing, I think that goes hand in hand of like, if you are struggling, like you need a lot. So, and I can fulfill that. So that equals you loving me, you know, instead of realizing, oh, wait, no, I deserve love baseline just for existing, you know, and then everything on top of that. Yes, I can do things for my partner, but it also should be not tit for tat, but it should be reciprocated. And I know you did a lot of work, like figuring out what you actually do want in a relationship, which I will get to. However, I know you hit a very big bump in the road a couple months down the road from the breakup. So can you touch a little bit on that?
Yeah. So we had done no contact, exchanged all our stuff. He had my Netflix. He gave up my Netflix. I gave up his Amazon Prime Video, whatever I was watching on. But of course, I left his Pinterest because that had all my cooking recipes on it. And I'm like, he's never going to touch this again. And it was his account.
I'm just laughing because I think, especially like in a female male description, I've never heard of Pinterest being an issue. I'm laughing because this is actually a first for me.
Okay, yeah. So he had the Pinterest account. I never had the Pinterest account. Had all my cooking recipes saved. He even had like a little catalog that said like Tasha's cooking recipes. Everything's on there. So I just kept it on my phone because I was like, oh, you know, like he's not going to use it. He doesn't cook. It's fine, right? Yeah. A couple months down the road, you know, I had like this dream about him. So we're like six, I think this is March now. So, you know, like 6, 7 months. And I have this dream and I'm like, maybe I should just go look at the Pinterest account, like, you know, like kind of searching for a piece of him. And it's like, okay. So I go on Pinterest and I can go into his little DMs on Pinterest. And I notice that there is a girl in his DMs on Pinterest with like this little heart. I can see her whole name. So then, you know, I'm spiraling now. I'm like, who's this girl? Right. And at this point, I still don't have any social media. So I had been living with some roommates. I pulled one of my really good guy friends over and I said, like, hey, I need you to find this girl. Like, her Instagram account's right here. Just go find her. And he's like, I don't think this is a good idea. Like, you really tried to talk me out of it. I was like, no, you just need to find her. I need to see what's happening. Like, just calm me down. So, you know, he finds her on Instagram and her account is public. So I can see everything. I start going through all the stories. I start looking at all her pictures and I can tell that she had been to his place kind of in December. Like I can notice all the colors, all, you know, the backyard. And I'm like, wow. And even an earlier story, it looked like he had potentially taken her to a place that he had taken me right at the beginning of September. So then I'm, you know, making stories in my head. I'm like, because obviously I don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened, but I'm like, he must've started dating her right away. And I'm, you know, and she was a graphic designer. He had been looking for a graphic designer for his business and didn't like the one he was working with. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is how he met her, decided to take her on a date in September so that, you know, the timeline in my head. So, you know, by December, she's already coming over to his place and, you know, they're spending Christmas together and, you know, I can see her pictures at Valentine's Day, like, oh, he bought her flowers. And I was absolutely devastated, like just destroyed thinking that like, oh my God, he had moved on so quickly and he had done so many things for this girl that maybe he had been doing for me, or I guess flowers for me are super sticky point, because the first time he gave me flowers, which just huge red flag, ladies, he said to me, you're so lucky I bought these flowers instead of pulling them out of the garbage can for you.
Oh my God.
So with the last girlfriend, he had never bought her flowers, but he saw flowers in a garbage can one day and he had pulled the flowers out for her. So he was like, you're so lucky, I actually bought these for you. And he never bought me flowers like the first year we were dating. It was more like the next Valentine. I had pushed him and been like, hey, do you think you can get me flowers? And this is what he said. So I'm like, I can imagine that this time he probably didn't give the speech and just gave her the flowers, right? So Anyway, I was just super heartbroken, absolutely devastated, especially to find out this way. So, you know, lesson learned, just all contact needs to be broken. You know, don't do Googling, don't keep accounts, return all the stuff.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, and they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Like,
I need to add Pinterest to all my stuff. I've updated it so many times now with like Venmo and stuff. So now we have to add Pinterest to it. But that's so hard to find out about. Oh my God, it's such a kick to the stomach. What narrative did you allow yourself to believe right after finding that out?
It was really the narrative of like, he was with her right away. Like he must have been dating her right off the bat. Like as soon as I found out she's a graphic designer and, you know, seeing the picture of, oh, this is probably the place he took me for ice cream. It's like the same location. I'm going, oh my gosh, he dated her right away. He's already moved on. He's, you know, like just all of this kind of stuff. Like he was over me so fast and just moved on to the next. And I was just absolutely heartbroken because at that point, like I was still trying to deal with feelings, especially because he had told me, you know, maybe a month from now, I'll probably regret it and we'll go out for dinner. So to hear that, like to think that, you know, he actually said that and then went out with someone else was just like destroyed. I was destroyed.
Yeah. And how did you work through that?
Well, most of the breakup was journaling. That was a lot of journaling. I remember driving and crying in my car that day, just music cranked loud, just allowing myself to just absolutely feel the devastation and the hurt that that brought on because you really don't, like, I didn't even know what to do. I was just so heartbroken. I was just really just needed to feel it. So yeah, I had played some really sad music, turned it up really loud in my car and just cried. And then kind of moving beyond, it was just a lot of journaling and trying to like work stuff out of my head and break those narratives up. Like,
yeah,
I'm making assumptions. Like, I don't know if he did date her right off the bat. You know, he could have meant what he said, that he would regret this and take me out for dinner in a month. Like that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just really trying to break that up in a journal and be like, this could actually be wrong. Like, you know? Yeah.
That's a really good point. And it's also very fair to roll with the narrative for a little while and just allow yourself to feel sad about it, to feel angry that he said that. So it's okay to kind of follow those narratives for a short period of time. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what we need to do, is break down those narratives and realize, okay, I'm making assumptions here. And I'm probably making worst case scenario assumptions. We tend to not give best case scenario to ourselves, especially when we're already really run down emotionally, feeling very beat to the ground. And also having to remember that she's probably doing his laundry too. You know, it's like, it's very, very rare that significant changes will take place between relationships without serious intervention of a long period of time single, going to, you know, the person going to therapy or whatever that looks like. There needs to be intervention. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the Pinterest experience goes to show that she was still cooking for him, I guess. I could see recipes there. You know, nothing really did probably change for him. And he probably would step back into a dissimilar relationship. But no, I really like what you said, where you kind of, you can go with the narrative for a little while, just feel the feelings. But I think eventually, like, you know, journaling it out and breaking it down and telling myself that, like, hey, like, these thoughts are maybe not right, was the next step after the feelings. Like, that was so important afterwards.
Totally. And it's also, you know, when I'm feeling very upset about something or angry about something, and I'm talking to a friend about it, and they're starting to offer suggestions, which is obviously very helpful and great. But it's okay to stop and say, you know what, I just want to be mad for a while. I want to be petty. I want to vent. I want to talk how I need to. I want to talk freely in this scenario. It's the same thing with breakups. I want to be petty about this. I want to talk badly about this person temporarily. And I need to work through all of that. I think in some ways it's necessary to reach those layers that lie underneath, like all the things that you've accomplished in therapy. I don't think you probably would have been able to get to that point had you not honored, you know, had you not driven in your car sobbing, listening to sad music.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You needed the feelings first. And yeah, definitely being petty, because there were times I wanted to be really petty.
You know? Yeah. And that's okay. It's completely okay to feel petty. I mean, I don't condone petty acts against exes, although I've heard probably every single one of them in the book, and you know, it's not the end of the world. So we don't condone that, but that's why I love recommending, like, write the FU letter, write how angry you are, write the things you don't like about them. Because the thing is too, when those feelings strike, they're actually progress, because in some ways I'd rather you have glimpses of that instead of just thinking that they're the most perfect thing that's ever graced the planet, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I remember getting mad afterwards. Like, why was I doing all this cooking and cleaning? And then I was like, oh, this is actually really helping me move forward. Because if I thought he was perfect and I was doing all this cooking and cleaning because he's perfect, then that's a very different, you know, experience. But to realize, oh, he actually is unable to look after himself, really, like, pushed me to think, like, I don't want this in my next partner. Like, I want someone who can take care of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're someone that does want kids, that changes everything. Of like, if you're doing everything plus raising the kids, it's a world of hurt, you know? So it's, you got to start that stuff off early, of having equal roles and having conversations about that kind of stuff. How long did it take you, would you say, to be able, not be fully over it, but just feel like starting to feel a little bit of relief? I know that's a question I get a lot, and it's so different for everyone, but I always like to ask that on the listener episodes.
I really think it comes and goes. I don't think it's like a set time. Well, for me at least.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a couple moments that you get where you're just like with friends and you're having a great time and there's this relief. And, you know, maybe you're a couple months in and you're feeling good, but then all of a sudden you're in his Pinterest and you're really not feeling good again. You're like, wow, I thought I had made it and this wouldn't hurt me. And it really hurt me. So, you know, I think it is kind of ups and downs. And I would say it's quite gradual, but I think by a year, I'm at a point where things wouldn't impact me so much. Like even, I'll give you an example. I was driving the other week in a different town, and then I stopped at a stoplight and I'm looking at the street sign. I'm like, why does the street sign seem so familiar? And then I realized like, oh, that's the name of his street in Toronto. I'm like, wow, like, you know, I didn't realize that I would ever forget his address. Like just one of those things. So just making it past that point where now things that would have initially really triggered me being like, oh, I didn't even remember this anymore. Right.
That's amazing. And that's exactly it. It's like, you're always going to get glimpses of relief. It's not going to, you know, when I say it's very normal for it to take a year plus, I'm not saying you're going to be miserable for a year plus. I'm just saying there's going to be ups and downs. There will be weeks where you feel great most of the time and then feel sad. There will be weeks where there's more sad than good, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything's wrong. At what point did you feel comfortable to start dating again?
I think I jumped in super quick.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't have, but I think I started dating someone like 3 months after and I felt like it was fate. And it definitely wasn't. He wasn't a great partner for me, but he did teach me a lot about myself. He was all about experiences and doing new things. So for me, who had come out of this relationship feeling like, I don't even know who I am anymore because I had done so much for this person, to meet someone that was like, oh, you know, let's go bouldering and let's go to the orchestra. And the next day, let's go to this club and listen to this kind of music. And then, you know, we're kind of hopping around place to place. It was like, okay, now I can pick out things that I really like and learn a lot about myself. So yeah, I jumped into dating super quick and met someone that really wasn't good for me. But at the same time, it was really enlightening for who I am. But I felt after dating this guy that gave me a lot of experiences, I took a year off and I was like, no, like I really want to jump in more to who I am after having like, okay, like I really like going to the orchestra or I, you know, like, or like this kind of music that I didn't realize I liked, just kind of leaning into those things and being like, okay, what else can I try that's new? So I really didn't go back to dating until this year in June and just trying to meet people now and having a better understanding of what I like or my expectations in a partner. So it did take a while, but yeah, I would say more seriously dating now.
I love that. And that's what I always tell people too, of how do I know when I'm ready? And yeah, there are some telltale signs that will tell if you're ready, but at the end of the day, you can start and then you can stop. You know, it's like you had an experience and it wasn't amazing, but it wasn't like you were fine. It wasn't terrible. You learned stuff from it. And then you decided, you know what, that's not for me. So you're not entering contract with the dating world to say like, I'm yours now. I've decided that this is my time to move on. You can go on apps and be like, yikes, I can't do this. Or you can go on a date and realize I'm not ready for this. So it's always something that you can take a step back from. And I love that you had an experience with just like a different kind of person. I did an episode with my friend Heather, who she talks a lot about expanders and how sometimes we meet people in our lives just to show us a different way, you know? So being able to see the things that you can do and experiences you can have. That's amazing. Like I would call that a huge win, even if they weren't the right person for you. And it only lasted a few months. You know, it's not like you were with this person for years. So it's like, you're not going to magically all of a sudden be able to pick the perfect partner, but you learn from past experiences and be like, oh wait, this isn't working in 3 months instead of 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was exactly it. It was huge learning experience for me. And I'm so glad I had that experience of like, kind of, yeah, I'm over him. I'm going to date in 3 months. And then dating someone and kind of feeling like, oh, this is fate and trying to stick around when maybe they weren't the right person. And just having all these experiences that were amazing to my transformation of kind of being my own person now. Like, yeah, I really absolutely love that.
I love that.
Looking back on it.
So I like to end listener episodes with two questions. So the first one is, what's been the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself through this breakup?
The most surprising thing I've learned? would probably be a lot about my anxious attachment style. We didn't really touch on it too much, but that was extremely eye-opening to me. And you can probably kind of tell the anxious attachment style came out and like feeling like I had to do all these things for him to want me. I think that's a big thing for people that are anxiously attached, right?
Totally.
So that was huge for me. That was like eye-opening. I've done so much reading, so much learning about this, so much.
Yeah, what resources have helped you in that?
So therapy was huge for me. There's a lot of things I needed to work through that I had never touched. There's so many books out there. I think you had Jessica Baum. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You had her. I've read her book. I've read the book Attached. There's so many other resources. Untethered Soul. It is anxious attachment in its own way.
I've never thought about that, but it totally is. It's learning how to feel detached from everything, kind of.
Yeah. It's really helped with the anxiety for me to be able to like step back and take the anxiety in sometimes instead of just reacting.
Yeah.
So I love reading. So those have been huge resources. There's a couple podcasts out there. There's one podcast that I really liked. I think they're out of Australia that just talks about attachment styles.
Amazing.
And that's been really good for me. Honestly, there's so much out there. Like, I think you just go on Google and just start reading. Like, that's just how I started, just Googling, reading whatever articles came up. Like, what is anxiously attached? What is, oh, now I'm missing all the words, fearful, avoidant, dismissive, avoidant, all that kind of stuff. And just reading how these dynamics play out and how can I be securely attached? Kind of trying to get there.
Looking back now, do you feel like your ex was avoidant?
Yeah, I do feel like he was avoidant. I don't know if I can like directly pinpoint it, but I know the start of our relationship was super tumultuous where it was like me chasing and him being like, no. And then I'd walk away for a little while and then I'd come back. So yeah, looking back on it, I do feel like he was avoidant.
I just interviewed another attachment expert just last week. I think it'll have already aired by the time that this comes out, but she talks about like the joke of the universe is anxious and avoidant people just are super attracted to each other for all the wrong reasons, but it's like such a strong attachment. So I think everyone who is anxiously attached, me included, have had experiences dating an avoidant.
Yeah. It's really nice to hear other people that are anxiously attached say they've dated an avoidant and hear about their experiences, because it's just like, wow, I'm not the only one that someone really pushed my button this way and I don't know why. Right.
Yeah. I still catch myself, you know, being, you know, married for over 5 years now. I still catch myself sometimes, and sometimes my husband catches me. I'll still do like little tests sometimes when I'm feeling insecure. You know, I still have that stuff come up. It's gotten so much better, and I feel like I've really moved. And the great thing is you can kind of shift attachment styles. But yeah, I still catch myself doing that sometimes, and it's very interesting. And I feel grateful that I can catch it or at least correct it if it's already happened. But yeah, I'm glad it's becoming so prominent out there so people can all learn about their styles.
Yeah, no, I think that's huge too, because it's not something I ever knew about before. And then I think it was your podcast that introduced me to it too, where I was like, oh, what is avoidant? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And now trying to lean more secure is something that's really important to me, kind of getting there or meeting a partner that can meet my needs, even if they are avoidant, maybe they're trying to work towards it and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that can totally happen. But again, just having the awareness and being on the lookout of what's being triggered within you and how that's translating to, is this the person? Is this me? Am I having an off day? Or is this just something in the person? Being able to sort through all that is so valuable when it comes to dating. My last question that I like to ask is, if you could go back 2 years, what would you tell that version of Natasha?
I really think I would tell her it's for the best and that everything has worked out in the end, because I think the girl that was in this relationship from 19 to 22 was just really looking for who she was and trying to figure out who she was, and leaving this relationship, even though I really didn't want to or had hoped that he would stay or things would change, I think it really gave me the opportunity to grow as a person and learn about myself and, you know, what I really want a partner to look like. Like, I just think it has given me such an amazing opportunity to be my own person. And at the end of the day, I really love when you say this too shall pass, because all those big feelings I had, especially when I got kind of that kick in the gut when I found out he was dating someone new, to be absolutely heartbroken like that and know 2 years from now, yeah, I felt this way before, but I lived it. I survived it. I have amazing friends and family that support me. I have all these tools that I can work through things now, like the journaling, the therapy. Like, I know I can make it. So I'd really just tell her, like, yeah, this was hard for you, but you now know how to deal with it and you can move past it. And it all works out in the end. Because I really do think it all works out in the end.
It's beautiful. And the fact that you've adopted all these tools like in your early 20s and knowing that, because there will be times in the future, whether it's relationship related or not, that things are going to be hard, and just having that internal knowledge of this too shall pass. And I know I can turn to journaling. I know I can turn to therapy. Just knowing that stuff is there is so comforting without us even realizing it.
Yeah, no, it's such an amazing thing to have now. Like, I felt like I didn't have a toolbox before, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't have the toolbox. I didn't have the tools. And then now it's like, oh, I have all these things here that I can work with and really move through things that I would never have thought I could have done before.
Yeah, I love the way that you phrase that. It's also, I don't care how interested or innately interested someone is in self-help kind of stuff. I don't think you really build the toolbox until you're in the fire. Like, you don't build the toolbox until you need to use that toolbox to climb out of a hole. So I think the fact that me being able to utilize that experience to build that, and then you'll always have it, is great.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I wouldn't have built the toolbox if I didn't absolutely feel destroyed. So
yeah, I think, you know, as humans, we can be pretty motivated, but we're not motivated to do that kind of hard stuff unless we're in so much pain that we're like, I'll do anything to get out of this.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I definitely agree.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, and excited to see what your next relationship holds, and really grateful that you came on and shared your insights and your experience.
I'm really glad that you had me, and just a big thank you. Like I said, I wouldn't have really made it through my breakup without you. And I was so lucky to have had someone share one of your Instagram reels with me, because I didn't have social media at the time, and introduced me to your podcast. And, you know, I just want to thank you. You've made such a big difference in my life. So I wanted to come on and kind of share a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you could pay it forward and continue to share. And I know this episode's going to help a lot of people. So thanks again.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks, Kendra.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.